Hey everyone, this is Pastor Jesse of Port Colden United Methodist Church. I wanted to share a brief introduction to the message this week. We're going to begin capturing an audio-only version of the sermon each week at Port Colden, and most weeks I'll try to record video at Broadway, and if you wish, you can watch the sermon at broadwaynj.org. But for now, enjoy this audio-only sermon. Have a blessed week. The scripture lesson this morning comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 10, verses 5 to 14, and this is from the NIV. Hear now the word of God. These 12 disciples that Jesus sent out, he gave them the following instructions. Do not go among the Gentiles or any town of the Samaritans. Go rather to the lost sheep of Israel. As you go, proclaim this message, the kingdom of God has come near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have been received, freely give. Do not get any gold or silver or copper to take with you in your belts, no bag for the journey or extra shirt or sandals or a staff, for the worker is worth his keep. Whatever town or village you enter, search there for some worthy person, and stay at their house until you leave. As you enter the home, give it your greeting. If the home is deserving, let your peace rest on it. If it is not, let your peace return to you. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, leave that home or town and shake the dust off your feet. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So in today's scripture, we have the 12 apostles, the 12 disciples who were among the first to come forward, the 12 who would be with Jesus until the very end. These are the ones he handpicks, he calls them by name, and in this chapter, he sends them off on a mission. Beginning with verse 5, he says, don't go among the Gentiles or the Samaritans. Only go to the lost sheep of Israel. Only go to Jews who have lost their way. Jews who have turned their back to God, even when God had called them out of chaos. Even when God had called them his chosen people. Jesus says, go out and preach this message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Go and heal the sick, raise the dead, clean those with leprosy, and drive out demons. And that's a shift for the disciples. Preach that the kingdom of heaven is near. Heal those who are sick. Raise the dead. And drive out demons. Those are things that Jesus did. Those are tasks that are associated with him. If you were to take a poll of people and ask them, what did Jesus do? These would be the common answers. He preached. He healed. He raised the dead. But now Jesus is ordering his disciples to go out into the world and to preach and to teach and to heal in his name. He continues on with the instructions. Go into a town, go into a village, find a worthy person and stay at their home. Don't bring gold or silver or copper. Don't bring a staff or a cloak. Go and live in their home with their hospitality. If they are hospitable, let your peace fall on that home. If they are not, keep your peace with you and leave that town and shake the dust off from your feet when you leave. So those who have been paying attention, which I don't blame you if you didn't, I preached a sermon on this text 1 year ago and 2 weeks. If you remember a year ago, we talked and I told a story how I'm from the shore. And when I was a little kid, I loved getting sandy. I went out of my way to get sandy. I would bury myself under the sand. I would bury my siblings under the sand. Sharon's nodding. She remembers this story. And as an adult, I hate being sandy now. It's uncomfortable and itchy and coarse, and I just don't like it. And so I called my mom. This was a couple years ago. I called my mom, and I told her this problem. When we were younger, my mom used to... I love my mother. My mother's name is Susan. And my mother was a stay-at-home mom, so she has all these, she calls them Susie homemaker tips. These little things to do. You want to clean your sponge, you put it in the dishwasher. When you go to the beach with little kids, bring pillowcases. And then you put the pillowcases up around them so all the sand stays in the pillowcase. And when you go home, you just wash the pillowcase. This is a Susie homemaker tip, she calls it. I called her and I said, Mom, they need to make like giant pillowcases for adults so I can put my body in this pillowcase and not get sand all over my car. My mom says, I got a new Susie homemaker tip. You take a bottle of baby powder from the dollar store. A couple of people are nodding their heads. It sounds a little bit more familiar. That's okay. You take a bottle of baby powder from the dollar store, you keep it in your trunk. When you get off the beach, you basically dump as much baby powder as you can, and the top of them will dry up the sand and you'll be able to wipe it away. And so a year ago, this was my sermon. A year ago, this is what I preached on, and back then I was trying out different things. I was still reading a manuscript, almost word for word. Someone told me today, she goes, man, we were worried about you last year, Pastor. You came in this church, you were reading these sermons word for word. You would get lost and you'd stop for a second and find your place. You would never leave the pulpit. That never happened because I was tied to that script. She told me, we were worried about you. We didn't know this was going to work out. And I said, Beth, that had been my fourth sermon at the time. I never preached before I became a pastor, and that was part of the problem. And so a year ago, we talked about this Susie homemaker tip, this bottle of baby powder to dry the sand off and make it easier to wipe your feet from the town. Now, I don't know if the disciples had talcum powder in the first century. I don't think they did. But a year ago, that's what we focused on. Well, I was. I read my sermon this past week, preparing this sermon this morning. I read that sermon from a year ago, and I made some good points and some other things. I don't know what I was doing. But this morning, I'm focusing a little bit more on the journey of those disciples. Do I have what it takes to be a disciple? Do I have what it takes to leave everything behind and to go out and to preach the good news? Do I have what it takes to go and rely on the hospitality of others and to preach the good news? I do this a lot when I prepare for my sermons. I do this a lot when I read scripture. I focus on the disciples and I focus on Jesus and I try to put myself in their shoes. But the reality is, and maybe because I've been at this a year, and maybe because of Tiny's funeral on Tuesday, I don't know if I'm supposed to be doing that. What if for a second we're not the disciples or the apostles following Jesus? What if this morning we're the townspeople and the homes that they had gone into? What if for a second we're not the people like the heroes of the Bible, but we're the people that the disciples came to tell them to preach that the kingdom of heaven is at hand? What if someone walked into this place at this time and told us that the kingdom of heaven was at hand? Would we believe them? Would we kick them out? Would they dust the feet off of their souls as they left our town and our community? The entirety of the gospel is full of Jesus teaching about this kingdom of heaven, teaching about this concept and what does it mean. And we have scripture and we have lessons, we have parables. I've been preaching at you for 54 weeks. But I don't think that concept of the kingdom of heaven gets any easier to talk about. We see in the Beatitudes, Jesus said, those who are poor in spirit would inherit the kingdom of heaven. Those who are meek would inherit the earth. Those who suffered for righteousness' sake would be called sons and daughters of God. It was never those in power, never those in the majority, never those who would persecute another person who inherited the kingdom of earth. It was the people we don't expect who would be called sons and daughters of God. Jesus tells us to love our enemies and to pray for them. One of my favorite passages in Scripture says, love your enemy, and in doing so, it will be like heaping burning coals onto their heads. I love that Scripture. I don't want to love my enemies. I hate that. But Jesus tells us to pray for our enemies, and not that bad things will happen, but to pray good things for our enemies. That they will live, that they will have peace, that they will be profitable and successful in business. We're to love our enemies so much that if one of them punches us on the nose or on the cheek, we are supposed to turn, not to show them that we are better and more peaceable, but to let them hit us a second time. If someone steals from us, we are to give them our coat and to give all that we can, to give in abundance, to give when it hurts, to give them food, to give them money, to let them continue beating you even to the point of death. Jesus tells us to forgive as we have been forgiven. We have been forgiven in ways that we know we are not worthy of. And so to forgive others who have hurt us, who have stolen from us, who have abused us, and to forgive them in ways that doesn't make sense to us. The kingdom of heaven is not an easy message to preach. And for the past 54 weeks, I think I'm finally realizing that. Jesus told us to give everything we can to those who are Jewish and Gentile alike. The Samaritans who are up on that mountain who we hate, our brothers and sisters in Christ, and the people who don't even look like us, talk like us, speak like us, or worship with us. And not only are we told not to hate them, we are told to love them. To treat them like our neighbors, to treat them like family, when we don't want to do anything like that. And so this is the kingdom of heaven that the disciples were preaching. This is what it means to be a Christian, to love blamelessly, totally, completely, in ways that the rest of the world say that is wrong of you to be like that. That is wrong for you to love that much. It is wrong for you to be taken advantage of. It is wrong for you to do that. Stand up for yourself. Protect yourself. Protect your freedoms. And so what would it look like for someone to come in this room and preach that the kingdom of heaven was upon us? Because that's what the disciples did today. That's what the disciples did back then. They preached it to communities that were not ready to hear that message. They preached it to people who were not ready to hear it. It cuts like a knife. He told them, when a town dismisses you, when a home refuses you, when you are beaten and arrested for my name's sake, to let your peace return to you and to shake the dust off of your feet. How many of us have lost that peace? How many towns in history did not hear that message of the kingdom of heaven? I don't blame us. It's easy. The kingdom of heaven is not a worldly kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is not a kingdom of earth. It is not a kingdom that is legal or fair or worthy. Let me rephrase worthy. It is not a kingdom that makes sense to us. It's not a kingdom that seems fair to us. It is not a way of living that makes us go, yeah, this makes sense. That's why it's so hard. The kingdom of heaven has no earthly king on its throne. The kingdom of heaven is one of love. A love that knows no boundaries and no races. A love that knows no religion or borders, no language, no race, no war, no economics, no ability. The kingdom of heaven has God sitting on a throne, and we are all citizens of that kingdom. When the Holy Spirit descended on Pentecost, we all received that power that Jesus gave his disciples this morning. And not just to preach the kingdom of heaven, but to live the kingdom of heaven. To love in ways that don't make sense to us, especially in our 21st century point of view. To love in ways that hurt, that we do not understand, that we cannot comprehend, and that make us uncomfortable. To stand up and call out people when they're wrong. To stand up and to love those who we should not be loving. That's what it means to preach that the kingdom of heaven is near. We are no longer citizens of earth. We are citizens of heaven. Maybe it's time to dust the dirt off of our feet and to get up and to go. To go out into the world like the disciples did. To go out into the world and proclaim this radical statement that all people are deserving of God's love. That we are all citizens of heaven, man and woman alike, even the stranger is a citizen of heaven. Truthfully, the kingdom of heaven is here today. We are citizens of that kingdom, and we are getting ready to turn the world on its head. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Our hymn of response is Sweet Hour of Prayer, which can be found on page 496 in your hymnals. That's 496 in your hymnals. Please stand in body or in spirit. Thank you.